So the title, The Church of God is Unstoppable. And if you went round Kilness telling that to people, they would be laughing. And inside, perhaps we are as well. You know, the Church of God is unstoppable. You must be joking. It's not easy, is it? You know, because you know the church in this country has got its backs to the wall, hasn't it? We're not exactly flavour of the month for most people, and certainly not the opinion formers. There is a sort of, I don't know, in Harold Wood, there's a sort of a scarcely concealed sort of hostility towards the church, especially if you start talking about Jesus in any convicting sort of way. The numbers, they're pretty static. I'll ask you, how many people here have watched Bake Off? There's more blokes than women, that's fantastic. When the Bake Off started its last week? Do you know how many people watched it? 11.3 million watched Bake Off. Do you know how many people went to all the churches in this country that on the Sunday before that? A tenth of that. We're not as popular, nowhere near as popular as Bake Off. The Church of God is unstoppable. We wonder, has the Church of God got a future? Beyond me? Beyond us? And if you've got young children, you think the church got a future for them? We start in Acts 1. The church then was around about 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7. Well, no, not less than that. It was 120 people. 120 people, because they met in Acts 2. There's 120 of them. In the Roman population in the Roman Empire of 30 million. In 300 years, do you know how many Christians were in the Roman Empire? 6 million. The empire had stayed pretty static, so this I was reading in an article. So it grew from 120 to 6 million in 300 years. With no media moguls in charge. With no money. With no buildings. With no impressive, you know, megastars. But the Church of God is unstoppable. How did God grow his church to that incredible, so it was 10% or more of the Roman Empire? They had two things given to them by God through which he grew his church. And do you know, the gift of those two things is still with us now. And how does God grow a church? He grows a church through his word and through those by the power of his spirit trust what he says and so love Jesus that they just want to go and do it out of sheer joy. Still the same. And they didn't have it easy. Have you ever seen that film that came out at Easter called Risen? Have you ever seen that film? Risen. It's out on DVD. It's a really good film. Joseph Fiennes in it. And what is it? That the Roman authorities are concerned that there's rebellion in Palestine. Because this ex-carpenter with the gift of the gab, some sort of jokers have said he's conquered death and he's alive again. And they sent this centurion to go to Palestine to find the body and put a stop to it straight away. And the film shows at what lengths the Romans would go and went to find this body in collusion with the Jewish leaders. You see this film, Risen? They would intimidation, murder the lot to get this body. That's the breakcloth in which these Christians meet. But Jesus is with them. He has conquered death. He has conquered sin. He says to them, trust me. I've got to tell you something that you need to know. This is it, verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my... The temptation to leave Jerusalem was massive. I mean, the blood of Jesus was rarely dry on the streets of Jerusalem. There was hostility to them in Jerusalem. But he said, wait. Wait for the gift. Are you any good at waiting? They say when you get older, you get more patient. But it hadn't happened to me. One of my prayers is, Lord, make me patient. Give it me now. You know, when the first credit card, if you're old enough to remember the first credit card came out, I just loved it. You know, it was called an access card. And it was green and had this cheeky looking bloke on it. And I thought it was great because you went in the shops, you did that, and you didn't have to pay for anything. Until my mum said, actually, you do have to pay it eventually, because I was just buying all sorts of stuff on it. I thought it was fantastic. But do you know what the strap line was for that? For the access card? Take the waiting out of wanting. You're only good at waiting. Now, these highbrow folks from Kilners, Great Expectations. Have you read that book? Have you seen the programme on the telly? The Kid Great Expectations will be on Sunday afternoon by Charles Dickens. And there was some sort of really scary people on it. There was one woman, they showed it from the back cloth, and you get into this room, and there's this lady, she's sitting in a wedding dress. And you think, oh, it's some sort of 21-year-old, you know, and all the banquets out there. But as they honed in, she wasn't 20-odd, she was, you know, in all due respect, some sort of 70-year-old crone. And she was sitting in her wedding dress. And there was the cake that was covered in cobwebs. And there was all the stuff. You ever seen that? You know her name? Miss Havisham. And she was waiting, wasn't she? She'd been waiting for nearly 50 years. What was she waiting for? She was waiting for the bloke to turn up, wasn't she? She was waiting. She's still waiting. Because her groom hasn't turned up. He never came. She'd been jilted. It's desperately sad because of a broken promise. Take heart, brothers and sisters. We have a God who deals in keeping promises. That's what he does. Sometimes you can hardly believe it because we live in a world of broken promises. Well, that's the common currency. He keeps his promises and he gives orders that are good. He says, wait for the gift. And you think, what is it? What's that gift? You're only good at waiting for gifts. I don't know whether I just sort of lacked self-esteem as a child, but when I was sort of 14, 15, coming up to Christmas, and I used to buy myself something for Christmas, wrap it up, and hide it just in case everyone forgot me. One year they did. Waiting for the gift. Waiting for the gift. Don't forget, this Jesus always keeps his promises. He always keeps his promises. And it got to the time in verse 8, we'll cut it down. Look in verse 8. This is the key verse. This is the key verse of the whole of the book of Acts. I would dare to suggest this is the key verse for the whole history of the church until glory. Now, Jesus talking to us. He's talking to them. He's talking to us. He's talking to his disciples. His followers. We've got a lot in common with them. We're not very good at it. We're basically serial failures at following Jesus in many ways. I mean, it's just, you know, it says in the Bible, we are living sacrifices. Well, you know the trouble with a living sacrifice? It tends to crawl off the altar given half a chance, doesn't it? And go its own way. But this is what he says to these folks who are serial failures. They've let him down all the time. You remember when the chips were down at his moment of greatest need, when he says, wait in the Garden of Gethsemane, he goes and he's sweating blood, he comes back, they're asleep. When he gets arrested, you know, Peter has some sort of undirected zeal, tries to chop a bloke's head off and misses and just gets his ear. That's about it. But when the chips are down and a servant girl starts to give him a bit of that, he said, don't even know Jesus. So these are serial failures. You would not have them on your PCC. You certainly wouldn't have them as your vicar. You've got very close to that, but you wouldn't have them as your vicar. But look what he says to them. This is the key verse. And this is what he's saying to you and me. And you and me, we feel pretty much, Lord, I'm not special. I'm not very good at this, being a Christian. My charge sheet is fair all the way down the line. I mean, if we get into heaven on performance related, it's empty, except for Jesus and God and a few angels. Look what he says. But you will receive, this is a gift, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Well, that's not an easy place. In all Judea, that's not a lot better. In Samaria, well, that's even a no-go area. These were Jews, a no-go area for Jews. You know, the Jews and Samaritans hated each other, a bit like the Sunnis and the Shias. But you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, if you think that's bad, Samaria, if you think that bad, and to the ends of the earth, Kilnas, flipping heck. I mean, I take my life in my own hands. I do when I come up the A1 every time. I've never prayed so much in my life. Every time I come to the A1 at Kilnas, you know what I pray for? The second coming. Straight in the glory. Miss out the ugly bits in between. Now, how can Jesus say this? Is he giving them a line? Is he just trying to boost them? Is this like some politician saying, yeah, you go and do it, boys. You know, you can go and do it. It's a bit like, you know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The very Spirit of Jesus lives in you and me 24/7. I forget that. I forget that so rarely because it's all about Chris Knowles. I'm the centre of the universe. You don't ask my missus. And to remind me, I'm so weak. Every week I get a new hanky. I tie a knot in it. Remind me that the Spirit of Jesus lives with me all the time. I mean, in our road, no one leaves our road. You get to the end of the line in our street. People have stayed there for 40, 50. We've been there for 40 years. We're still the newcomers. All except my neighbours. They go in and out like a fiddler's elbow. No one wants to live next to us. Jesus, he lives in me. He must be mental. Receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the earth. You will be my witnesses. How can he say that? There's no way he can say it. Because as far as Jesus is concerned, the future is already a done deal. So he says, you will be. I know the future. You will be. You will do it. They're serial failures, but you will do it in my power, through my Spirit, if you cooperate with me. You will do it. When I was preparing this, it was a little while ago, and I was watching the telly, and it was just when Leicester City had won the Premiership. Now, this is a group of complete bogus. There's no Leicester City supporters here, are there? I'm not saying this because I'm jealous because they won it and my team got nowhere near. But, yeah, the season before they were nearly relegated. With more or less the same team and a dodgy manager who, you know, was rubbish with grease. I mean, he was just this Ranieri, and everyone thought it was a joke, wasn't it? With a collection of cast-offs, misfits, has-beens, never-wases. I look out here, it's not changed much. What did they do? They won the Premiership. They won, and I saw the pictures of it, and it was just incredible. How did these folks do it? How did they win the Premiership? They were 5,000-1, weren't they? And who won it? How did they win it? You know how they won. If you saw it on the telly, and it suddenly clicked, the light cut. So, do you know how they won it? I tell you, I've got one of their shirts off eBay to show you how they won it. This is a Leicester. This costs a bit of money now. This off eBay. This. It does. Now this is true. This is their shirt. What is on the shirt of a Leicester City footballer? What is on their stadium? What's on the main stand? That's what's on it. That's how they won it. What's that? King power. King power. King power can make these bozos win the Premiership. King power, the king in us. By the Premiership, you do that before breakfast. King power, but we've forgotten that. But you, me, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Kilness, in Harrow Wood, wherever you are. Why can Jesus be that confident? Because it's him working in us. It's his power. Don't forget, the church of this Jesus is unstoppable. Because he's unstoppable. Death couldn't stop him. Sin couldn't stop him. The Roman Empire couldn't stop him. The religion couldn't stop him. Politicians couldn't stop him. No one, no one can stop him. His power is working in us, through us. To be his witnesses. Well, what does a witness do? Put it on there. What does a witness do? Well, in the court, the witness just says what he's seen and heard. A witness hasn't got to answer all the clever questions that people put. A witness hasn't got to have all the answers. He hasn't got to be sleek, and he's not got to be suave, and he's got to be charismatic, and he's got to be anything. He's got to be good looking or clever or anything. You just tell them what you've seen and heard. We tell it through our lives, and as we pray for people, we ask for opportunities to say it. You know, the best thing you can do, the best witness you can do for Jesus in Kilness, is not to answer all the questions that, you know, that are unanswerable. The best thing you can do is they can come along on Sunday and see what it's all about. See the reality of the living God with his people. That's what it did it for me. On that first, when I first shipped up at St. Peter, I was ready to last 5 minutes and go, and I thought I might only last 5 minutes for these before they chuck me out. But it's the reality of the living God. They need to see it. They see it in you. And if you've made genuine relationships with people, because it's not easy for someone to come to church, because, you know, we're not flavour of the month, we're ridiculed. We're so, you know, part... Well, my you've probably heard me say this, my daughter Christiana, you know, when she was 14, 14-year-olds know everything, don't they? She said, "The trouble with you, Dad," I thought, here we go again. She said, "You're so yesterday." What a crusher that is. You wait, Sam, you've got that later on. You've got that coming when Harry says that. Put in your diary, 11 years' time, Chris warned me. You know, we're not hip and with it and on the mark, are we? But we are his witnesses. And he says, knowing his power in us, you will be. He is so confident. The challenge for us as a church is, can we have the confidence that Jesus has in us to witness for him, so that through that witness he changes the world? It's not self-confidence. It's his confidence that he will do it in me and through me, through us. And invite people. And they're more likely to come if you've been genuinely loving them. That's the witness. Making genuine friendships to give people a bit of confidence to come along, because it's not easy. But you will be my witnesses. And it's everybody, isn't it? He's speaking to all of them, not just the disciples. They weren't much better than the others, were they? Their track record. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And the challenge for us, God built his church and builds his church through his word in the power of the Spirit for people who trust what he says. Now, do you believe that? Or is that just a nice line to keep them going? Or has that got reality and earthy depth to it? What did they do with that promise? That's the adventure of faith we're going to be following this weekend. What are we doing with that promise together? We don't know what the future holds. There'll be new things, you know. Nick's going out to uni on Sunday. That's exciting, but also a little bit of trepidation. Some people may be having a new job or whatever, or have not got a job and will want. We don't know what the future is. But in everything, he says, you will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Because he hadn't been yet given then. But he has now in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I'll close with this. We're in a small home group in our church years ago. There was no sort of theological heavyweights in there. We were just looking at the Word of God, and we're starting studying this book. Now, in my Bible, it just says Acts. That's what it says. The title is Acts. I don't know if it's in this one, but it just says Acts. Does it say Acts? Or yeah, and change words. It says Acts. And we were saying, well, what is the Acts of? Someone said it was the Acts of the Word of God. Yeah. Someone said it was the Acts of the Living God. Yeah. Someone said it was the Acts of the Risen Lord Jesus. Yeah. Someone said it was the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And then someone who, you know, he's not the brightest bloke that I've ever met. He said this, and I've never forgotten it. You know, the title for this book is this: The Acts of the Inadequates, but not the Incapables, when they trust in Jesus. That's fantastic. I've never forgotten that. Wrote that down. I'm not stupid. I've pinched the best lines off everybody. And God is writing that book in Kilness, in Harrow Wood. Still writing it. You know, Acts 29, he's writing it all the time. The Acts of the Inadequates. False humility is really a cloak for saying, I don't trust Jesus. The Acts of the Inadequates, but not the Incapables. Because his church is unstoppable. And wonderfully, we're a part of it. Don't it give you goosebumps? Should do. It's incredible, isn't it? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you do not give up with failing people. Father, that your church is unstoppable, and wonderfully by your grace and mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ and his Spirit in us, we are members of it, and each one of us has a vital part to play. Help us to learn this weekend to practice for heaven, to learn what it is to follow you, to be excited about the days ahead where we see you at work even in us to bring about your glorious plans and purposes. Amen. If you come back for tomorrow morning, most people will, I hope. We're having a look. We're actually looking at Acts 2, 3 and 4. A bit of a whistle stop tour there. But as they say, Ronald Reagan said, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's really good. Thanks very much.